Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, reading today from the May 2015 edition of Playboy magazine. The only thing we have to fear, we men need to be courageous. Why? So women will like us more. Here's a vastly incomplete list of all the things I'm afraid of: heights, guns, dogs, mice. Actually, all animals bigger than bugs. Bugs, roller coasters, divorce, horror movies, physical confrontations, verbal confrontations, being alone for more than one day, drugs, blood, car crashes, lightning, fire, teenage boys, the ocean, guys at clubs in Las Vegas, women at clubs in Las Vegas, people at clubs in Las Vegas who are not, gender is not immediately evident. While it might seem as though that list prohibits me from making a woman feel safe, it does not. That's due to the equally long list of things I'm not afraid of: terrorism, Ebola, bed bugs, eating from a streetcar, sharks, kidnapping, black mold, inoculations, GMO, zombies, clowns, and zombies. Identity theft, changing diapers, Democrat turning America into a socialist country. Gluten, food past its expiration date. I'm so annoyed by airport security that I would vote to completely eliminate the Department of Homeland Security if I lived alone. I would happily give whatever I'm paying to ADT just to get rid of my home alarm, since its record of being correct about break-ins is now 0 out of 145. Not coincidentally, the things I'm not afraid of have almost no mathematical probability of happening to me. They're mostly just sensational things that, thanks to the sudden ubiquity of information, we hear about all the time and thereby freak us out. Our great-great-grandparents never heard of a single shark attack because they didn't have the Discovery Channel. Also, people didn't surf much back then, but mostly the Discovery Channel thing. Which brings me to a fundamental difference between men and women. Women go into anxiety spirals based on a single Facebook link to a dubious health study. Can instant ramen cause cardiometabolic syndrome? Can a cell owner's radio frequency waves cause cancer? Has listening to all this stuff taken 4 months off my life? A woman once told me I couldn't eat fish because Japan's Fukushima nuclear disaster, even though she lived in America. This was a woman who wouldn't eat tuna out of fear for her life and yet texted me while she drove. You start typing Ebola women into Google and it suggests Ebola women's health. You go with it. Ebola men, it gives you Ebola mentioned in The Walking Dead. A study in England reported 80% of the 8-year-olds went to school unaccompanied by an adult in 1971. By 1990, only 9% did, despite the fact that crime had decreased. I'm going to guess that preventing kids from walking to school alone was a decision of moms, not dads, because dads in England are too drunk to make decisions. Because women are wired to worry more about health than their surroundings, it's not quite as annoying when they make these life decisions based on what they see on a Nancy Grace. When I see women melt down on a plane before takeoff, I think, that's cute, and I'm glad she's not my girlfriend. When I see a guy shaking terror on a runway, I assume he was once in a flight that crashed on a deserted island where there was a weird time travel and an unsatisfying ending. When a guy tells me about all the chemicals in his food, I know he truly loves and respects his wife. Part of the reason women are more anxious about random horror is that the vast majority of random horror is committed by men. By exclusively dating women, I've radically reduced my odds of disaster. I'd be studying Lifetime movies, too, if I were exposed to all those guys on Tinder creepily posing with power tools. 50 Shades of Grey was a huge hit, not because of the S&M, but because it was like a Lifetime movie with a happy ending. Women are also allowed to have more fear because they're more they're nurturers, and shark bites are not very nurturing. Meanwhile, men are supposed to be fearlessly explore the unknown, responding only to the immediate dangers. A caveman didn't know the luxury of panicking about long-term effects of cooking meat directly over fire. He was too busy responding to that moment's danger, a wild animal, a warring clan, a lightning storm, or someone mentioning the word bet, which would seem to him as gambling binge so severe it caused him to stammer. Much of my knowledge of cavemen is based on the Flintstone. So even if the news sometimes does frighten us, will keeping my cell phone on in my pocket cause erectile dysfunction? Will eating soy cause my erectile dysfunction? Will this drug that says it might cause erectile dysfunction cause erectile dysfunction? Will reading 4 questions about erectile dysfunction cause me to worry about erectile dysfunction and thereby lead to erectile dysfunction? Men have to be brave, and bravery consists of recognizing our logical fears and controlling them, whatever that means. Jumping out of a plane with a parachute, taking a trip to Israel, eating an undercooked hamburger. The news we need to remember is that what happens to other people. And if women become scared by what they read, we should be glad for the opportunity to comfort them. There's a reason, after all, that boys take girls to horror films. And that reason gives girls another thing to fear. What's past isn't past. Why your girlfriend is a history major and why it's your history she's studying. I hate your ex. You know the one. I don't care that she's a really cool girl. And you think if we met at a party, we'd be friends. I hate her, and I want to hate her on an even deeper level. So I have to know everything about her. When I'm bored at work, I'll Google her and decide she couldn't wear orange ever, or really anything that clings, and everything clings, that her roots need touching up, all 6 inches of them, that her current boyfriend looks like a less hot version of you, that she doesn't look that smart in pictures. I will Google deeper, like a hate tourist, to find her comments on friends' Facebook pages that are neither insightful nor funny. Cute pic, thinking of you. She uses the same birthday line for everyone. Have your best birthday ever. Why even bother? I will know her from the local fun run turkey trot time, very slow, that she's not right for you. You clearly had a lapse in judgment when you entered into a relationship with her. This kind of research fills a special dark part of my heart that also enjoys seeing someone in a really fancy car get a parking ticket or someone slip on ice and be injured. I'm not a total monster. I once dated a guy who had a big cardboard box in his bedroom closet labeled in a black Sharpie, "Do not open. Will induce suicide." After dating him for a couple of months, I got into the courage to ask him about the contents. My guess, it was full of either expired winning lottery tickets or chocolate-dipped cyanide pills. It turned out to be a lot more ordinary, but a lot more interesting to me. It was a box full of stuff from his previously long-term relationship. She was the ex I hated. I'd only seen one blurry picture of her when she wore an ill-fitting long shorts, a questionable fashion choice to say the least. So one drunken night, not in my best moment, I asked my boyfriend to open the box. As you can imagine, I did not ask nicely. He resisted at first. "Not a good idea. Sleep on it. You can't take it back." But eventually he gave in and opened it calmly with an XO action knife. The blade made a crisp noise as it cut through the year-plus-old tape, and the scent of vanilla filled the air. There were a lot of photos. She was okay-looking in non-blurry shots, but not suicide-inducing. A vanilla candle. Vanilla says it all. Some books of poetry, boring. some love notes, rhymes are for babies, an anniversary card, trite, a stuffed animal, she didn't know him at all. They were your basic relationship souvenirs, and I had him explain every one. He was a goodish sport about it. Eventually, we broke up, too, and he got a box of his own in my closet until I handed it over to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You probably think I regretted the decision to open my ex's box, that I realized I'd allowed my hate to go too far. I don't blame you for thinking that. You're a guy, and guys just don't get it. Guys don't really want to know about our past. You don't want to think about us having sex with someone else. But that doesn't bother me at all. I don't care about your sexual liaisons before you met me. I don't even care if Alanis Morissette went down on you in the theater. I don't care if you barely count a threesome you had that freshman year. You basically watched two soon-to-be living together in Vermont lesbians hook up. I don't care about the friendship with benefits relationship you had in your early 20s. That was the best until she went crazy. Essentially, I don't care where your dick has been or hasn't in the case of that threesome. I only care where it's going, but I do care where your heart was. Opening that do not open box will induce suicide. Box filled with the ashes of my boyfriend's old relationship was absolutely practical. The contents revealed that Google and Facebook couldn't tell me about what I really needed to know, the details. Digging up the info on my boyfriend's past is like doing research on a used car website. If you're buying a car, you want to know what accidents it's been in, what repairs have been made. You want to know if its potential hazards lurk beneath the new coat of paint or a pair of designer jeans. Your ex helps me with that. She's like one of those bomb robots that are sent into the dangerous situation first. She can report back from beyond the relationship grave. Did you like her cutesy nickname for you, Pookie, Honey Bear, Baby Cakes? Why was that road trip so terrible you ended up calling it quits afterwards? Did you mind her dog sleeping in the bed with you? What if it had been a cat? How'd you feel when your ex made you go to dinner with her and her mom on Valentine's Day? Your ex is a you gold mine, a treasure trove of information about you. So I'll continue to hate your ex because it's useful. It's a useful hobby, also free. I can't help it. I just absolutely, totally love hating your ex. And I know I'm not alone. I'm sure one of my exes' current girlfriends is out there Googling me right now. It helps with my middle name. It helps if it helps. My middle name is Elizabeth. Okay, it's time for the question and answers. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months, and he wants us to go to a strip club together. We've always had excellent communication. We started seeing each other. He told me he visited a few such clubs without giving it much thought. I told him it would be fun if we went together. Now we're getting more serious. I'm not so sure. He brought it up again recently and wouldn't let it go, so I got upset. I finally told him I have no interest in seeing strippers, and now he's mad and says he feels duped. Is it unreasonable for me to feel like I'm right and he's the one who's wrong? Apologies to the Fight Club fans, but doesn't your boyfriend know that the first rule of strip clubs is don't talk about strip clubs? Joking aside, you have to give him credit for being honest about his interest. He has been more transparent than a lot of guys would be. Whether you intended it to or not, it does sound as though you misled him at the beginning of your relationship, and you need to fess up to that. He's within his rights to be disappointed, but you also owe it to yourself to be honest about the issues surrounding strip clubs that bother you. We're guessing it isn't so much a matter of your being cool with going to a strip club as a matter of your being cool with him going to a strip club if it's essential philosophical and political conflict, this might become a compatibility issue for the two of you. Better keep a level head, talk it out, and not make this about whether you accompany your boyfriend or not. The why and the how regarding your feelings about strip clubs are more important than the ifs and the when. A good friend of mine was recently in a terrible accident. They hardly survived. I've been visiting him in the hospital every week, and I've come to realize just about every decent-looking nurse is incredibly sexy. They're no longer hotter than women outside the They're no hotter than women outside the hospital, and they wear chunky athletic shoes and baggy clothes, but there's something about them and about being in an environment that makes me hornier than usual. Don't worry, I'm not going to hit on the nurses, but I am curious about your opinion. What's your take on this? Your situation sounds different from the standard sexy nurse cliche that thrives in certain porn subgenres and proliferates around Halloween. Maybe it's the baggy clothing that makes the nurses all more tantalizing to you, sort of like a sartorial chastity belt in scrubs form. Or perhaps it has something to do with the fact that nurses take care of people in a somewhat motherly way that Freud would probably say you find arousing. Our leading theory is that given your friend his circumstances and your reaction to really is really about your fear of death, we think that on some primitive level, you're responding to a situation which your friend nearly died, which probably makes you more aware of your own mortality. The primitive evolutionary reaction to being threatened with death is to procreate. So you're seeing all these nurturing, fertile women as potential mates who could help you propagate the species and thereby give you eternal life. Or at least pass along your DNA. Then again, maybe the nurses are just sexy. Can a woman have an orgasm just from being spanked? My girlfriend wants me to get her to come that way. We've been trying, but I'm worried I'm only hurting her when in a quest for something that might not be possible. It's possible, but highly unlikely that your girlfriend will be able to have an orgasm from spanking alone. Mild to moderate spanking will help release a pleasurable amount of endorphins and increase blood flow to the genitals. Combine that with the erotic charge some women get from being spanked, and you could ostensibly trigger a mental orgasm, a rare but achievable state. We suggest redirecting some of that effort you're worried about to your free hand, or hers, and for some good old vanilla clitoral stimulation that could, combined with spanking, trigger classic orgasm. Okay, skip that question. Not interesting. I want something fun. Okay, here we go. When I go out on first dates, I habitually bring a condom, which I keep in my small pocket, a.k.a. watch pocket, just in case things get hot and heavy. This way I know we'll have protection if we need it. I've always thought it was a good idea. It's definitely come in handy, but I always worry about the reaction I might get if my date discovers the condom early in the night while we're still getting to know each other. What's your view on this type of etiquette? As far as we're concerned, the watch pocket or coin pocket should do just rename the condom pocket because its dimensions are remarkably suited to the standard measurements. Hats off to you for being dedicated to safe sex. Yes, it would look mighty tacky if the condom package were to slip out of your pocket and into the popcorn bucket at the movie theater or into the dinner table where you were paying the bill. If that happens, come clean, laugh it off, and get on with the night without apology. We think any good woman will look at you as an evolved and responsible man rather than as a creep. I'm a divorced 46-year-old man who's in a relationship with a slightly younger, recently divorced woman. My girlfriend and I get along well, but I struggle with setting boundaries regarding time to myself. I'm introverted and creative. And I need time alone to develop my work. My girlfriend says she accepts that, but doesn't put that claim into practice. I've expressed my needs several times, and each time they have been met with bemused condescension. What can I do or say or do that won't hurt her feelings but will give me time to myself that I need? Consistency and respectful clarity are your friends. Establish predictable hours for your work and alone time. This will let your girlfriend know that you expect what to expect from you. You will be precise and follow through on your promises. Treat your time with her as sacredly as you treat your me time. If you say every other night is date night, then that's the deal. But if you constantly use creative and artistic excuses to back out of dinner or movie plans at the last minute, I wouldn't blame your girlfriend for being annoyed. Being introverted and creative is one thing. Being rude is another. Like you said, it's about setting boundaries and sticking to them. I'm a sexually active 67-year-old man in a committed relationship with a 31-year-old woman. Whoa! She doesn't want a baby, and neither do I. Okay. She says birth control pills are making her crazy and wants to stop taking them. I don't want to wear a condom. I've heard that sperm swims slower when you get older. Am I old enough to be able to count on my slow poke sperm being too slow to get her pregnant? It's true that older a man gets, the slower and less mobile his sperm become. Although this can diminish your chances of impregnating a woman, there's no guarantee. The genetic quality of your sperm also decreases over time, which can lead to birth defects. You'll need to use condoms to find another form of birth control for your girlfriend. I'm unable to maintain an erection with a condom on. I wonder if this is unusual or if it could be psychological. Have you heard of this, and is there a solution? By no means are you alone. Many men experience erectile difficulties as a result of condoms. In one study, up to 32% of men surveyed. Problems can be caused by reduced stimulation, breakage, losing an erection while putting on the condom. It doesn't take much thought to arrive at this, why this might be. The condom is a buzzkill of highest order. You go from foreplay to that magic moment and then only to struggle with tearing open a foil packet, positioning and unfurling it correctly, and then back into a now less than magic moment. That doesn't mean you can't get better at the transition. This is going to sound a little ridiculous, but you should practice putting a condom on a condom while masturbating. Then practice finding pleasure with the condom on. The more comfortable you are with this and the more accustomed you are to the sensations, the better you'll become at staying hard. Another issue could be the condom size. If your condom is too tight, it might be cutting off blood flow to your penis and making it harder for you to stay hard. Try going up a size. Okay, let's go over here to the jokes. I want to hear some jokes. Okay, here we go. A woman who was struggling with her relationship started to make a list of men's pros and cons. Pros, they're dicks. Cons, they're dicks. What do you call a gigolo who works for free? An organ donor. What do you call someone who thinks sex often lasts too long? It's an inmate. When asked if they would have sex with Charlie Sheen, 86% of women in Los Angeles said not again. I guess you heard Charlie Sheen's HIV positive. I don't think I'd want to do it the first time, much less again. A new study has found that men who are vegans have a much lower sperm count compared to those who eat meat. Even worse, a few sperm that the vegan men do have refuse to go anywhere near an egg. Two friends agreed to meet for dinner after work. One friend arrived late and said, "Sorry, but on the way home I saw these three punks slapping my old boss around. Did you stop to help? No, I figured the three of them could handle it. During a screening of 50 Shades of Grey, a man was attacked by three rowdy women. The responding police officers handcuffed the women, so their plan worked perfectly. We know a guy who just joined the Mile High Club by humping a hooker in Denver. An attractive co-ed approached the professor and whispered, I'd do anything to get an A in this course. You'd really do anything I want? Asked the professor with a mischievous smile. Yes, anything, she purred suggestively. The professor looked around to make sure no one could hear him. He then asked, would you study? 5,000 men were asked what they liked best about oral sex. 3% liked the warmth. 4% enjoyed the sensation. 93% appreciated the silence. A prostitute slipped on the sidewalk and was helped to her feet by a priest who was passing by. This is the first time I've rescued a fallen woman, said the priest. The prostitute replied, this is the first time I've been picked up by a clergyman. Sure, when Venus sits naked in a giant clamshell, she's a goddess, but when you try to do it, you're a pervert and no longer welcomed at the aquarium. A gorgeous woman walked into a bar. After a few drinks, she asked a man if he'd like to go home with her. He accepted. When they arrived at her apartment, he walked into her bedroom. He noticed a wall lined with stuffed animals and arranged in different shelves according to size. The smallest set on the bottom, the middle size in the middle, and the largest on the top. He found this peculiar, but brushed it aside and proceeded to have sex with the woman. As they finished, the man asked, so how was it? The woman replied, you can have anything from the bottom shelf. Hurt me, she cried as she spread out naked on the bed. All right, you're a terrible cook and I prefer your sister. What do you call a man who has just had sex? Anything you want, he's asleep. What's the difference between light and hard? You can sleep with the light on. Two rednecks were fishing when one asked the other, if I slept with your wife, would that make us family? No, the friend replied, it would make us even. Oh, boy. It would make us even. Well, I guess that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. See you next time. Bye.